Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, June 15th, 2016, and we're going to jump right into Franklin Graham's message as spoken on the steps of our state capitol yesterday as I helped coordinate a bus of 50 Great News Radio listeners for this prayer rally. In order to fit this 35-minute talk, I shortened some of the applause and the prayer times so that you can hear the message in its entirety. We had a great bus load. In fact, I think my favorite part was all the testimonies on the bus, but I know you'll be blessed by today's message. Here's Franklin Graham.
Thank you. Thank you for coming today. Thank you that you care so much about your state and this nation that you've come to your state capital, to these steps to pray for our country. My father is 97 years old. Sends his greetings to all of you. He doesn't think anybody remembers who he is. So he says, if you meet anybody, if they remember me, say hello. So hello to all of you. We're here today. Our country's in trouble. And I want us to pray just for a moment for the folks there in Orlando. What happened Saturday night was a terrible thing. I disagree with the gay and lesbian community on many issues, but they have no right to go in there and to slaughter those people. Those were American citizens. And let's just bow for a moment of prayer. Just quietly pray in your heart. The lead doctor down there, his name is Dr. Michael Cheatham. He's on our board of directors at Samaritan's Purse. But he is the lead doctor there at Orlando Regional Hospital. But let's just bow for just a few moments of silent prayer for the victims and their families. Father, we pray for those in Orlando, those that are suffering, those that have lost loved ones, those that are in the hospital, that are clinging to life. Father, I pray for Michael Cheatham, for all the doctors and nurses there that are tending to them. And Father, we pray for this nation, and we pray for this nation in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our country, we're in trouble spiritually. We're in trouble racially, economically, we're in trouble politically. And I'm here to tell you that there's no political party that can turn this thing around, all right? Now, I want to say something to you Democrats out here. You Democrats, I have no hope in the Democratic Party, okay? Now, before you Republicans start high-fiving each other, you Republicans, listen up. I have no hope in the Republican Party. Okay? The only hope for the United States of America is Almighty God. The most important thing we can do here is to pray. In God's Word, in Nehemiah chapter 1, the children of Israel were in bondage. They were captives in Babylon because of their wickedness. They had turned their back on God, and as a nation, we have turned our back on God. And God brought judgment, and God just might be bringing judgment against this country. But Nehemiah was a slave, a Jewish slave in the king's palace. And I want to read to you, and I'm going to read to you from the Word of God. This is Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 2 through 7. Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile are back in the province, are in great trouble. They're in disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down. Its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. For some days I mourned, fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenants of love with those that love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself, my father's family have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed your commands or the decrees or the laws that you gave to your servant Moses. God heard the prayer of this slave, Nehemiah, and God gave him favor. The pagan king whom he served gave him letters and gave him letters of permission to go back to Jerusalem and to rebuild the walls. This is a slave. This wasn't an engineer. He didn't have some construction company. He was a slave in the king's palace, but God gave him favor. What do you think God can do with any person if he gives that person favor? He sends Nehemiah back with letters, giving him permission to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls. He also sends troops to help protect him. Now, that's favor, isn't it? This pagan king. And within 52 days after he arrived, he had rebuilt the walls. He had rehung those gates. The moral and political walls of our nation are crumbling and they are falling down, ladies and gentlemen. Walls are meant for protection, to keep bad people out. Gates can open, and when threats come, gates can be closed. Our moral walls and gates are down, and any type of wicked thought and activity can come and go. And our educators, big business, many politicians, and sadly to say, many of our churches are more concerned about profits and political correctness than they are about God's truth and His righteousness. Let's look what Nehemiah did. He fasted and he prayed. And he confessed the sins of his people, the sins of himself and of his father's family. The most important thing we can do here today, ladies and gentlemen, is to pray. And I'd like us to do that right now. And I'd like to ask you just to grab the hand of the person next to you. Maybe a stranger, that's all right. I hope they don't have a cold. But I want you to just grab the hand of the person next to you. Now, he confessed the sins of his people, his nation. And what I would like us to do is to pray out loud and confess the sins of this nation to God. You say, but Franklin, where do we start? Our nation is guilty of so many sins. It's true. I think of abortion, the murder of children in a mother's womb, same-sex marriage, the flaunting and celebrating of this, the sin of pride. We worship materialism in this nation today. Racism, the lack of care for the poor, the entertainment industry that takes sex and violence and puts that on TV and in the films every day. And our nation just feeds on that for entertainment. But the list goes on and on. But as God leads your heart, if we'll just confess out loud the sins of our nation to God, and let's just do that. And after a few moments, I'll close us in prayer. But as we stand here together, holding the hand of the person next to you, let's confess the sins of our nation to God and ask for His forgiveness. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers today. We have sinned as a people. We've turned our backs on you. We ask for your forgiveness. Forgive us, Father. Cleanse us. Father, I pray for our politicians, the president, all those in Washington. We pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Secondly, he confessed his own personal sins. I'm not asking you to blurt out your personal sins in front of everybody, but if we could just bow our heads and just in our own hearts, let's make sure things are right between us and God. And let's confess our sins to God and ask for forgiveness for our own personal sins. And I'll close us in a prayer in just a moment. Let's pray. Father, I confess my personal sins. Father, I have sinned against you, and I will confess them and ask for your forgiveness. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thirdly, he confessed the sins of his father's family. Now, I don't know what all that means, father's family. But I think all of us, if we look into our families, we see some scoundrels, don't we? We see things that our parents did that weren't right. I had a great father and mother and great grandparents. But if you look further back, There were some scoundrels in our family. We had slave owners, people that did things that were just alcoholics, drunkards. And some of you may not have to look back to your grandparents. It may be your own father, and you see things that he did that weren't right, that hurt the family, and you've never been able to forgive him for maybe those things. And I think it's important that we, as Nehemiah, he confessed the sins of his father's family. And let's just quietly in our hearts confess the sins of our families to God. And I'll close this in prayer. Father, we confess the sins of our families. Father, you know what they are. So, Father, we confess them today. Forgive us. In Jesus' name, amen. And then lastly, I want us to pray. Behind us is, of course, your state capitol. And let's pray for your governor, your lieutenant governor, the attorney general, all the public servants that work here and throughout this state. Let's pray for them, especially the law enforcement. They get beat up in the media quite a bit. Could you imagine what Illinois would be like if you didn't have the police? So we thank God for these men and women who risk their lives to protect us. So let's pray for your governor, lieutenant governor, the attorney general, all of the state workers across this state, and especially for the law enforcement. And I'll close this in just a few moments. So let us quietly just pray in our hearts for them. Father, we pray for the governor, the lieutenant governor, the attorney general. Father, I pray for all of the state workers across this great state of Illinois. Father, we pray for them. And Father, we pray that you would protect and keep the police safe. Put your angels around them and protect them. And Father, we thank you for their service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Got a question for you. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Is Jesus Christ, is he the Lord of your life? If you're here today and you're not sure, I want you to listen to me just for a minute, all right? Just listen to me. I want you to know this. God loves you, all right? God loves you. But we have a problem. And that problem is called sin. And sin is disobedience to God's standards. The Bible says that all of us are guilty of sin. Every one of us here, we're guilty. And the Bible says that the penalty of sin is death. You see, sin has infected the entire human race. The whole human race. It's a disease of the human soul. And our sins separate us from God. Separate us. But God loves us. He loves you. And the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. You see, God sent his Son from heaven to this earth on a rescue mission. Jesus Christ took your sins, and he went to the cross, and he died on the cross. He shed his blood on the cross for your sins. And on the third day, God raised his Son to life. Jesus Christ is not dead. He's alive. He's here today in Springfield. And if you're willing to believe by faith, the Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, God wants to forgive your sins, but you've got to be willing to turn from your sins and by faith believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my question to you is, if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've never invited him to come into your heart, I want to give you that opportunity to do that today. Because if you'll do that today, this is a promise. God will forgive your sins. He'll heal your heart. And you can leave the steps of your capital and go home today forgiven, cleansed by Almighty God, knowing that your sins are forgiven forever. But you've got to be willing to do this by faith. And if you've never done that, I would like to ask you to pray this prayer with me. If you've never invited Christ into your heart, I want you to pray this prayer right now. Just pray it in your heart. God will hear your prayer. But if you'd like to pray this prayer, just pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive me. I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that He died for my sins. I believe that you raised Him to life. I'd like to invite Him to come into my heart, to take control of my life from this day forward, forever. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you got a telephone? I want you to send me a text right now. If you prayed that prayer, 21777 and text the word decision. 21777 and text the word decision. And I'll have somebody text you right back, and I'll got some information that I want you to have, okay? And send that information to you. We're not handing out any paper or any literature here. We're just doing it electronically. Isn't that great? I love technology, especially when it works. And today it's working, all right? So 21777 and text the word decision. You may be here today, and we look at our country, we see the mess that it's in, the problems we have, and you're saying, what can I do? In the next election, this coming election, vote. That's what we can do. I'm not here to tell you what party to vote for, what candidates to vote for, but I'm telling you to vote. And vote for candidates that stand for biblical truth and biblical principles, that are willing to live them, people who will do what they say. Some people ask me the question, Franklin, what would your father do? What would he have done today? Well, here's what he said in 1952. He said, I think it's the duty of every individual Christian at election time to study the issues and the candidates and then go to the polls and vote. Vote. If I were a pastor, he said, if I were the pastor of a church, listen up, church. I believe I would explain to my people where each candidate stood morally, spiritually, and in relationship to the church. He said, I feel that if we're going to have to meet our political obligations as Christians and make our voice known, if America is to be preserved with the type of Christian heritage which has given us the liberties we now enjoy. For unless America turns back to God, repents of its sin, experiences a spiritual revival, we will fail as a nation. And I believe God honors leaders in high places who honor Him. Today, we need men and women in high places who will honor God. America is being stripped of its biblical heritage and God-inspired foundations. Growing up, my generation, we were scared of the red threat. Remember the commies were coming. Remember them? Oh, yeah. We remember. I grew up, we had a little mountain school there in western North Carolina, and it was a designated civil defense shelter. This little brick school had a sign on the side, said Civil Defense Shelter. It was yellow and black. It kind of looked like it was radioactive. We had food stored in there, biscuits that would last 30 years. Rats wouldn't even eat that stuff. But we were ready. And I remember we had air raid warnings. And every now and then you'd hear a siren off in the distance, and we would get under our chairs and put our hands over our head like an atomic bomb was coming, like that was going to really do a lot of good. But we were ready, this red threat. Well, the Berlin Wall came down. We all had a sigh of relief. Wow, we won the Cold War. You know, everybody's giving the thumbs up. Isn't that great? We won. But as we began to relax, secularism, and there's no difference between secularism and communism. Both are godless. Atheistic secularism has crept into our government over the last 40 years. It got into Washington, to the White House, the halls of Congress, secularism. And then it began to filtrate into our state capitals, secularism. And then it began to get into our schools, our municipalities, all across the state, all across this country. Godless secularism has taken root. Friends, our country's in trouble. When I was growing up, we had the Ten Commandments on the wall of the school. Well, they took them down. You say, well, Franklin, what good would that do if the teacher didn't believe in it? Well, it doesn't matter whether the teacher believed in it or not. Those Ten Commandments were God's Ten Commandments. At least it would have been a beacon At least it would have been a rudder for the lives of kids to see God's standard. But we've taken God's standard out of school. When I was growing up, the teacher would lead the class in the Lord's Prayer every day, all right? Well, that was okay, but they took that out. And then I hear people say, well, Franklin, what would we do if the teacher didn't believe in God and she's praying a prayer? So it's not her prayer, it's God's prayer. It's the Lord's Prayer. And in many, many schools across this country have even taken the Pledge of Allegiance out of our schools. Unbelievable. In 1976, my father said, get involved in the political process. He said, this coming year is an election year, just like it is this year. I'd like to challenge every deeply committed American who's qualified to think about running for political office. He said, I don't believe that we as Christians should withdraw. We need men and women of integrity, Christian commitment, who'll run for political office this coming year, no matter to which political party you run. You say, but Franklin, how about separation of church and state? How about that? How about that? That's not what separation of church and state is all about. If you're a Christian and you get elected to office, you don't leave your Christianity at the door. You take your faith right with you into that office. The problem, our politicians, many of them, leave their faith outside the door. They get inside politics and they lose God's standards. And all of a sudden, they get involved in all kinds of things that turn our state capitals and Washington, D.C., sometimes into cesspools of corruption and greed. Separation of church and state. It was never that Christians would leave their faith at home and not take it to office with them. You see, it's the duty of Christian men and women to offer themselves for public office. One reason we've had such bad political leaders is because in some places it's only the bad ones that offer themselves for service. There are many places where Christian men and women could get the vote if they only offer themselves. Daniel in the Bible lived in one of the most heathen countries in the world. He served seven kings. He was prime minister in two empires, but he never compromised. We need Daniels today. The choice may not always be clear. You might have to go to the polls and hold your nose. May not be clear. When it comes to president, when we started this tour, we had all kind of candidates running. Now it's down to two. And I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but it's going to be either Hillary Clinton or it's going to be Donald Trump. Now, again, this is not a political rally and I'm not endorsing anybody. But you have to ask yourself, which of the two candidates will we as Christians at least have a voice with, okay? A voice. I'm not going to tell you who. You ask God, He'll tell you who to vote for. But just ask yourself of the two candidates, which ones will we as Christians at least have a voice maybe in their administration? We talk a lot about the national election. I mean, it's been on the news every day. But let me tell you about some elections that people don't talk a whole lot about. Mayors. You know how important it would be to get Christian mayors across Illinois? Could you imagine that if every municipality, the mayor was a born-again man or woman, the impact that that would have on this state and on this capital? We need Christian mayors. City council, how important that is. County commissioners, school boards. Could you imagine if the school boards of Illinois, the majority of the school boards, were controlled by evangelical Christian men and women, the impact that that would have on this state for the next 20 years. And when these progressives, that's a nice word, right? But that's what happens. A lot of these secularists, they call themselves progressives, hold up a book in a school board. Well, I think this would be a good book for our students to read. And when you look at it, it's basically pornography. For the Christians on the school board to stand up and say, no, we're not going to feed that to our children. We're not going to approve that. We need Christian voices on school boards to stand up against these progressives and to say no and not allow it. You say, but Franklin, listen, we're busy. We've got lives. We have jobs. We don't have time for this. How many times do you think the school board meets a year? Once a month? And it's for a couple of hours in an evening. Every one of you could do it. Every one of you. And ladies and gentlemen, I say, let's take our schools back. Let's take our cities back. And if we take our cities back, and if we get our schools back, then maybe we'll get our capitals back. And if we get our state capitals back, then maybe we just might get Washington back one day. But it starts locally. It starts with you and you and you. It starts with you getting involved in your community. Say, Franklin, what should I do? Well, friends, I believe in prayer. And I think you do too, otherwise you wouldn't be here today. Go back home and start a prayer group in your community and start praying for your community and your city. But then go and look for Christian men and women in your community, maybe in your church, maybe it's your pastor. Pastors, listen up. You can run for political office. Why not? When this country was formed, the pastors were the political leaders in every community. We need to get the pastors back into politics. But look for people in your community that you can get behind and encourage them to run for the school boards. Encourage them to run for the city council. Encourage them to run as a judge. Have you ever heard this term? It might be new to you. I don't know. Called community organizer. You could become a community organizer for God. Wouldn't that be fun? A community organizer for God. Or you could become a, have you ever heard the term political activist? Well, you say, Franklin, the people on the far left use that term. Good. Maybe we ought to use it. Let's become a political activist for God. But get involved in your community. Start praying, form a prayer group, and begin to look for people in your community, Christian men and women, that could run for office, and then get behind them, help organize for them, put yard signs out, mail postage, whatever. Get involved. We're losing our country, friends. It's estimated in the last election, presidential election, like 20 to 30 million evangelical Christians did not vote. Stayed home. Just stayed home. That's why we're losing, friends. We got to vote. Again, I'm not telling you who to vote for. God, you pray. God will give you that wisdom. You say, but Franklin, it's rigged. Well, they'd like to rig it, but I can tell you, our votes count and our votes matter. And the Christians need to go to the polls. You say, but Franklin, these elections are won by millions of votes. No, they're not. 1974 in New Hampshire, Durkin, John Durkin was a Democrat, and he was running against Lewis Wyman. And on election day, Wyman wins by 355 votes. Well, they have a recount. Well, the first recount, Durkin wins now by 10 votes. They have another recount. Wyman wins by 2 votes. Well, they finally said the seat was vacant, and they had a special election several months later, and Durkin wins by 27,000 votes. 2008, up here in Minnesota, Al Franken, Democrat, against an incumbent, Norm Coleman. Franken won by 225 votes. Your vote counts, friends. It counts. Men and women, listen to me. Vote. Just vote. Now, there are people out there saying, don't vote. I'm here to tell you that we have a chance if we vote. And we go out and vote across this country. I've got something I want to ask you to do. I've got a pledge. I don't want you to come today and just forget what we did here today. I want you to remember. And there's a pledge I want you to sign. If you'll sign it, I'm going to read it to you. And if it's something you agree with, you can use your phone here in a minute to sign it. If it's not something you agree with, then that's okay. Don't sign it. Or if you would like to think about it, go home and pray about it and think about it. But here, I'm going to read it to you, all right? It's a pledge to God and country. Pledge to God. Number one, I pledge to honor God at home by living biblical principles, striving for purity in and out of marriage, and pursuing godliness in all of my relationships. Can you sign that? Okay. Number two, I pledge to honor God in public by standing for biblical principles and serving those in need. Can you sign that? Okay. Number three, I pledge to honor God with my vote, supporting where possible candidates who will uphold biblical principles, including the sanctity of life and the sacredness of marriage. Can you sign that? Amen. Pledge to country. I pledge to pray fervently and faithfully for the United States of America. Can you sign that?
Yes.
Number two, I pledge to be registered and to vote in every election, local, state, federal, supporting where possible candidates who uphold biblical principles. Can you sign that?
Yes.
Amen. going to get harder. Number three, I pledge to engage in my community with God's truth, and I will prayerfully consider, if God so leads me, to run for office myself. Can you sign that? Well, a few less, but okay. If you want to sign that pledge, you got that phone? Got it? All right, 21777, and text me the word America, and there will be a link right there. Click on that link, and you can sign the pledge if you want to be a part of it. Our job, listen to me, our job as Christians is to make the impact of Christ felt in every phase of life, religious, social, economic, political. But we must not do it in our own strength or wisdom. We can only do it as we surrender ourselves completely to God, allowing Him to work through us. I want you to go back to your communities. Organize those prayer groups. Go back to your communities. Be an advocate for God's truth, for His righteousness. Let's elect men and women to office who will lead this nation back to really being one nation under God that can truthfully say, in God we trust. Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming today. Get involved. Vote. Vote. But get involved and sign that pledge. All right, 21777 America. To God be the glory. Thank you. Thank you for coming today. Thank you all. Thank you.
So that was Franklin Graham sharing a message on our state capitol steps to thousands of people and 50 Great News Radio listeners, and I bused to Springfield and thoroughly enjoyed our time together. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.